Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Huh? This is bad, Gene. I feel like I got to work y'all up this morning. What is going on? Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to be worked up. Well, listen, I want to continue with what we've been talking about. How many is ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
All right. We're all in agreement. I want to continue what we've been talking about in this whole idea of going deeper with God. Going deeper with God. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's revisit this scripture that we shared last week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And I believe I'll be reading everything out of the Amplified. Verse 16 says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Last week we were talking about getting trained. We have to train ourselves in the Word of God. Amen? I just realized what was wrong. Half of me is missing today. That's what it is. The twain have become one flesh, and part of my flesh isn't here today. She is raining. She's raining. She's running in the rain at this half marathon up in Grayson Highland Park. Why in the world anyone would want to pay money to put themselves through that? I think she wanted to go up there and see them wild ponies. She's looking for them wild ponies. But Nikki's not here today. That's what it is. Half of me is gone. So y'all are going to have to make up where she's missing. Oh, Lord. We are in for it this morning. I'm telling you what. God is going to get something over today, and those of you that are here are going to be blessed by it, I believe. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. So we're here to get trained. Get trained in what? In righteousness. And I love how the Amplified breaks that down in every thought, purpose, and action. That about covers it all, doesn't it? We have to train our thoughts. Can you imagine that? We have to, and any thought that comes in there contrary to God, what does it say to do? Cast it down immediately. That thought comes in immediately. I mean, you can't entertain it for 1 second. If it's contrary to the Word of God, you've got to cast it down immediately, or the enemy will use that to get a foothold in there and just to tempt you or to distract you or to get you off on something that you shouldn't be. You got to cast that thought down immediately. Every thought, purpose. You know, we have purpose in this life. And it's not to go to work every day, make someone money, come in here on Sunday. No, we have a purpose. It's more than that. Those are part of our life. But we have purpose in this life. And we need to be trained in that purpose, I believe. You know, just like we shared last week. You don't come in and a brand new employee at Volvo and put them straight on the line and get them to start building a truck. No, you got to train them. We have to be trained in our purpose and action. We need to be trained in our actions. I can tell you from experience, when I got born again, my actions were not perfect right away. Was anybody in here, as soon as you got born again, you just started immediately acting like the perfect Christian man or woman? Huh? Did everything right? Perfect? Now, Dusty's pretty close. But it took him a long time to get there. Oh my. Hey, your half might be gone next week. getting trained. I don't mean that way. Training, no. getting trained, being conformed to God's will in every thought, purpose, and action. So today, this is what I want to talk about. We're talking about going deeper. We're talking about training ourselves in righteousness. We're talking about training ourselves up in the Word of God. So I really want to talk about a very familiar part of Scripture called the parable of the sower. And let me tell you why. I mean, someone years and years ago told me, and I think I've shared this with you before, but at least once a year, they endeavor to go back and really study that parable out. And if you remember, I mean, Jesus even said, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand any of them. So to me, a light goes off, ding, ding, ding. I better understand this one, right? And I think I might step on some theological toes this morning with this, but if we're talking about going deeper, if we're talking about getting trained, we have to understand what the Word of God says. And we have to rightly divide the Word of God. Amen? So if your thinking has been in this area of the parable of the sower and the way that we're going to talk about, that's all right. Just receive what the Word said in that Scripture, correction, reproof, training in righteousness. Amen? So let's turn over to, let's see. Before we go there, how many can quote that Scripture? Well, at least you know, the 30, 60, 100 fold, right? We remember that. We can quote that. The 100 fold promise. But what does it really mean? Last week we said we're going to be delivered from the bondage of religion. So I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear right now what your word is saying to us. Let us rightly divide your word. Let the word that is spoken from my mouth be true and conformed in every thought, purpose, and action to your will, God. So we got to dig in. We got to dig into the meat of the word. You know, Pastor Rob and Trisha used to say that all the time, getting the meat of the word, moving from the milk to the meat of the word. Amen. So we don't do this with vain repetition. We don't talk about the 30, 60, 100 fold just with vain repetition. Oh, I'm believing for the 100 fold return. How many have ever said that? We're going to get to that. But some of us, in fact, a lot of us probably misappropriate that scripture and we apply it to our finances. Okay? So hear me out. We want to get trained today. I'm not going to ask for a share of hands, but I'll tell you, I've been there. I've misappropriated that scripture early in my walk to my finances. Oh, I'm going to sow seed, I'm going to get a 30, 60, or 100-fold return. You know, I'm going to sow $10, I'm going to get $1,000 back. Somewhere, somehow, God's going to give me $1,000 back because of that. But let's unpack this scripture and see what it really means, okay? Y'all stay with me now. I might have lost a few of you right there. There's no condemnation here. There's only training. Amen? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at this parable. And let's dig down into it. Let's dig down, dive in, and unpack what it's really saying and what it's really talking about here. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified, and I'm going to read down pretty far, so just follow along if you have the Amplified. If not, it's up on the screen. But listen to it, and I want you to have listening ears, and I want you to hear it, maybe for the first time, not being applied to finances, okay? I want you to hear what it's saying. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting beside the sea. But such great crowds gathered about him that he got into a boat and remained sitting there while all the throngs stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, stories, by way of illustration and comparison, saying a sower went out to sow. So here we have the parable of the sower. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them. It's going to be very easy for you to gloss over this because you've read it, you've heard it so many times. But let's dig down into it and listen. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Listen, he's saying, pay attention. I'm getting ready to tell you something. Then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he replied to them, to you. He's talking to his disciples, the church. They were the foundation of the church. To you, to the church, we could say to us, it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, talking about the Jews at that time, okay? To them, to the Jewish nation. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, that's a key right there. To whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have given, and he will be richly, so that he will have abundance. I'm sorry. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is the reason I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. In them indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. And you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. For this nation's heart, talking about the Jewish nation, this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull, and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears, and grasp and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them. But blessed, verse 16, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men, men who are upright and in right standing with God, yearn to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. Listen to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on the thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy, yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary. Inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He's repelled and begins to distrust and desert him who he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. There were 4 phrases in there that were common in all of those different types of seed sown. And that common phrase is, he who hears the word. The word. The word. The word of God is the seed that is being cast out and fallen on those different types of soils. It's the word. It's the word that is being multiplied back to us. depending on the soil of our heart. Okay? Last week we said the sons of God are those that possess the Spirit of God. Spirit speaking to spirit. And that's why he said, and he says it all throughout Revelation, the book of Revelation, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. It's spirit speaking to spirit. He said, unto you, us, the church, it is made known. The apostles at that time, they're the foundation of the church. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet, but they had Jesus. They had the Word with them. But now the Holy Spirit is one that makes all mysteries come alive in our heart. And so we're talking about going deeper into the Word. We're talking about this parable, the parable of the sower. And it's talking about multiplied revelation of the Word of God in your heart. It's not about money. It's not about money. It's about increased wisdom. And I use this definition all the time of wisdom. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. The ability to apply knowledge to gain understanding. When the Word is planted in a heart that is ready to receive, it produces much fruit. Sometimes 30. Sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold of revelation based on the soil of your heart. So, the real question is, how do we prepare the ground to receive? How do we prepare the ground of our heart to receive? How many want a 100-fold return on the revelation of the Word of God? Amen. Then we need to prepare our heart, the ground of our heart, to receive so that that can be multiplied, that good ground. Amen? So how do we prepare the ground to receive? Well, Jesus spoke in parables. He told stories about the times that they were in. Why? So that they could identify with those stories, those parables. Those parables maybe sound a little bit different these days, but that's what he did. He spoke in a language that they would understand. So how do you prepare the ground for planting? I mean, some of y'all have planted gardens in here, right? I know Gene plants a garden every year. Gene, what's the first thing you do when you're going to plant your garden? How do you do that? You turn it, yeah? Turn the soil, prepare the ground. The first thing you do is turn that soil. Why do you turn that soil? What's the purpose of that? Why can't you just go out and throw seed anywhere out on the ground? It's hard. It won't take a seed. You are softening the ground. The first thing that someone does when they're planting something is they turn the ground. They soften the ground. Amen? They prepare the ground. They soften it to cultivate it. And then sometimes what do you have to... Sometimes fertilize that ground, right? Sometimes that ground doesn't have everything that is needed, all the nutrients that are needed to produce a fabulous crop. So we have to fertilize. We have to add what is missing. This is what he was talking about in this parable of the sower, sowing the seed. So how do you soften an unbeliever's heart? To prepare their heart to receive the Word. I mean, you have no relationship with an unbeliever, right? How do you do that? Well, I believe you prepare their heart or soften it by showing them the fruit of the Spirit. What they see in you, I believe, softens their heart. When you come up to someone and they're acting a certain way, you know they're, you know, not a believer. What do you bang them over the head with the Bible and shove scripture down their throat? Or do you love on them? You just, you know, meet them where they are and you show, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. And do you have self-control when they say something against you or they rail against you? How do we soften an unbeliever? I'm talking about an unbeliever. I'm not talking about your brother or sister in Christ. How do you soften an unbeliever's heart? I believe you show them. You show them with the fruit. And then how do you add what is missing? That fertilizer, in other words. I believe that's with prayer. I believe prayer adds what is missing in the soil of their heart. Because they don't know. They don't understand. But prayer, prayer can add what is missing in their heart. And that's why I think prayer is so key and such a priority in these last days, is because we got to be believing for a harvest, right? We're believing for a harvest of souls in these end times. So we got to be doing, we got to be about the Father's business. We got to be understanding what the Word says and how we need to go deeper in the Word to make an impact on the lives around us. One way is to show through the fruit of the Spirit in your own life, and two, to pray. Pray, to add what is missing in their heart, to get them ready to receive the Word. How many stories have you heard of mothers or grandmothers or grandparents praying for wayward children, for prodigal sons and daughters, and it coming to pass? Prayer. What do we normally say when that happens? If we see someone, they had a change of heart. They had a change of heart. Well, why did they have a change of heart? Huh? That's the real question. Why did they have a change of heart? I believe it's people involved in their lives, whether showing them love, kindness, joy, peace, patience, or praying for them. To change that ground of their heart. Some for years and years. Years and years. Some of you, I know, have been praying for people for years and years and years. Don't give up. Don't give up. If God is giving you that assignment, don't give up. Don't give up. Prayer works. It makes a difference. It adds what's missing. Think about Operation School Guard. You know, most of us will never see these kids or come across them in our, or you know, to any degree of number of degree. But what are we doing? We are praying for them. We are adding what is missing. If they don't have a relationship with God, we are adding what is missing to the soil of their heart, the ground of their heart, so that they can, and then labor can come across their path, right? And water what has been sown by prayer. And that will come to fruition. I believe, I know this without beyond a doubt, that my grandmother prayed for me. She never told me she did. I never got to have a conversation with her about it. But I know that she was praying for me. I know that. It took a long time for those prayers to make it to me and make a difference. No, they went out, and I know that she was doing that. I wasn't always a saint. In fact, when I met Nikki, I wasn't even saved. But I look back at my life, and I see seed being sown along my life. I can remember. She's not here. I can talk about the girl I dated. I remember this girl that I dated that was sowing seed in me, and I didn't even realize. She would just want to talk to me about the things of God and tell. I didn't have any interest in it. I didn't have any interest in talk. But that was seed sown in my life. So that when one day another laborer came across my path, I've heard that before. It kind of perked me up. Until the day that Nikki asked me to come to church with her, and then Pastor Rob given the invitation to give my life to the Lord. I'm telling you, it's seed being planted along the way. It's that seed of the Word being sown in people's hearts by the way we live our life, by us praying. And if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how you ought to pray, we have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have the Holy Spirit. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will add what is missing in someone's life. Amen? How do you soften your own heart or a believer's heart? Or add what is missing to a believer's heart? How do you do that? Well, prayer and the Word. We have the Word, right? If we're born again, we have the Word of God. You have the Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. Some of our hearts need to be softened in certain areas. How do you do it? Go deeper in the Word. Wanda just talked about it. In relationship with God. Through prayer. I'm telling you, if you're... heart is hardened in a certain area. And you take that to God in prayer. And I'm not talking just a one and done thing. You know, this isn't. I'm talking sincerely go after God in the area that you've hardened your heart to. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. You can't help but be changed. You can't help but be changed in that area. I'm talking sincere, out of a sincere heart. Not because, you know, to gain some favor with someone or something, but out of a sincere heart. If you'll go to God in prayer about it, you can't help but be changed. You can't help but be changed. I'm going to have to get our sign back out. It says, in order to reap a harvest, you have to first prepare the ground with prayer, I believe, with prayer. And it's talking about the ground of your heart. Can I be cultivated or prepared in my life? You know, how these are questions we should ask ourselves. Can I be cultivated? Can my heart be softened? Can the ground of my heart be tilled and turned? And softened and prepared to receive the Word so I can go deeper with God. How correctable am I? How correctable are we? How quickly do we repent? If we know we've done something wrong, how quickly do we repent? Turn around, go the other way, go back to God in that area. I wrote this down. The greater my yielding to God's cultivation, the greater the capacity of my fruitfulness in life. And that's all the parable of the sower and the seed is about. The greater that my heart is cultivated, the greater my heart is softened, the greater my heart is turned to receive the Word of God, the greater revelation. That's always 30, 60, 100 fold. The greater revelation I'm going to have of that Word and the greater the fruit of that Word in my life is going to be. Amen? Whether it's your heart or someone else's. Prayer is a priority. Prayer and studying the Word cultivates our heart as a believer. Now some of you are sad because maybe you've been believing for that hundredfold all your life. Maybe all your Christian life, you've been confessing that and believing that. And we're people of faith. We believe that our words have power, what we say. But they have to be according to the Word of God, right? Don't they? And so I said, you know, this is the first Sunday, and every first Sunday I was going to do an in-depth teaching on giving. And so I'm going to stay true to that. And so we're going to parlay this into giving. Because I believe that a lot of you have, well, I'm not going to say a lot of you. I believe there's someone in here that has misappropriated the parable of the sower to their finances. But fear not. There is a scripture to cover you, okay? Don't worry. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Turn to Mark chapter 10. I can tell this is a real jump up and down, barn burner sermon that y'all are just going to get out of here and be lit on fire. But sometimes going deeper requires us to dig into the Word, rightly divide the Word, study the Word out, so that we can have those times of jumping up and down and celebrating. Amen? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And let me just read on. I'm going to read down to 30 on this one here. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Teacher, you are," this is Jesus, he's talking to Jesus here. "Teacher, you are essentially and perfectly morally good. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That is, to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me essentially and perfectly morally good? There is no one essentially and perfectly morally good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother, or honor your father and your mother." I think mother should be first. And he replied to him, "Teacher, I have carefully guarded and observed all these and taken care not to violate them from my boyhood." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and accompany me, walking the same road that I walk." At that saying, the man's countenance fell and was gloomy, and he went away grieved and sorrowing, for he was holding great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "With what difficulty will those who possess wealth and keep on holding it enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were amazed and bewildered and perplexed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust, place their confidence, their sense of safety in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were shocked and exceedingly astonished. Are you getting the picture here? They're pretty astonished. "And said to him and said to one another, 'Then who can be saved?' Jesus glanced around at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God.' Peter started to say to him, 'Behold, we have yielded up and abandoned everything once and for all and joined you as your disciples, siding with your party, and accompanied you, walking the same road that you walk.' Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, there is no one who has given up and left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.'" So there is a caveat for a 100-fold return, I believe, when it comes to your finances. But we don't want to misappropriate the word and be believing on the parable of the sower for our increase when we should be applying another scripture that we just read in Mark. And what's he talking about, really? He's saying the rich man's heart, his, was not prepared to give away everything because he had no revelation of what Jesus was going to share next. And that's 29 and 30. "Truly I tell you, there's no one who has given up and left houses or brothers or sisters, mother, father, children, and lands for my sake and for the gospel's, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time." Now in this time. So what does that have to do with giving, tithing? Well, you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, don't you? Sapphira. What happened? They lied. They had evidently agreed to a certain amount of money that they were going to give from the proceeds of the sale of their land. And when they came, they didn't give that amount. They gave less than that amount. And we all know what happens. You know, first Ananias comes in and he says, "Why have you lied?" Fell dead. And then the ones that buried him were on the on their way back, and his wife came in and they said, "Did you do this? And did you agree to sell it for such and such and give such and such?" "Yes." "Well, she lied too. She died." So lands, that's where we're talking about. When we're saying that those things will be multiplied back to us 100-fold, I believe that addresses our giving. So if you've been believing that scripture, 30, 60, 100, for your giving, the sower that sows the seed is not what you should be believing on, but the 100-fold return from your giving, just as we just talked about. Turn to Acts chapter 5, and let's just read that, because I may not have done it justice in my paraphrase. Just one, verses 1 through 5 here. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge and connivance, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the price from the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control? Why then is it you have proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing? How could you have the heart to do such a deed? You have not simply lied to men, playing false and showing yourself utterly deceitful, but to God.' Upon hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died, and great dread and terror took possession over all who heard it. They withheld the money that they had committed to give, and what happened? They had a change of heart in the bad sense. They had a change of heart to withhold and to lie to the Holy Spirit. You see, they were trying to reap their own harvest. This is the point I'm trying to get to. They were trying to reap their own harvest. Right? What did Pastor Rob and Trish say it all the time? Don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. They were trying to reap their own harvest by holding back a part of the money that they had agreed to give. He said that was there. It was within their power. It was within their power. It's within our power to give what we prepare in our heart to give, right? It's within our power. It was within their power. But yet they withheld. They withheld. They had a change of heart. And were trying to reap their own harvest instead of relying on God to multiply their seed. Bottom line is that giving is a heart condition. Okay? We're talking about preparing the heart. We're talking about preparing the heart to receive the Word of God. We're talking about preparing our heart to receive the Word of God so that it will bring revelation in our life, 30, 60, 100 fold. And when we have revelation of the Word, then we start to understand what it means to live the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. That He didn't die in vain, but He died to give us an abundant life. And our revelation, our understanding of that, depends on how prepared our heart is to receive the Word so that it will be fruitful and multiply. So let's look at this scripture, very familiar scripture. And I want you, as we look at this, to examine your heart and find out what kind of soil is in your heart. Or what kind of soil is your heart? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 5. It It says, that is why I thought it necessary to urge these brethren, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, to go to you before I do and make arrangements in advance for this bountiful promised gift of yours. So they promised a gift. So that it may be ready, not as an extortion wrung out of you, but as a generous and willing gift. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Now he's talking about money. They've laid aside money to take back to the saints. And so he's saying, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly, right? You're going to reap what you sow. Right? We hear that all the time. You're going to reap what you sow. So let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus, you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. For the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, that's God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God. Because at your standing of the test of this ministry, they will glorify God for your loyalty and obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as your generous-hearted liberality to them and to all the other needy ones. And they yearn for you while they pray for you because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his favor and mercy and spiritual blessing which is shown forth in you. Now thanks be to God for his gift, precious beyond telling, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift. You cannot reap a harvest unless you first prepare the ground of your heart. Giving is of the heart. Giving is of the heart. And you have to have a revelation of what that means. You have to have an understanding, according to the Word of God, what that means. Jesus said he would give us fathers, mothers, children, houses, lands, hundredfold in this lifetime when we appropriate, when we rightly divide the Word of God and what it says. But I believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is not law. And we could go into, that'll be a teaching for another time, about how the tithes and offerings came before the law, with Abraham giving to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek being a type, a foreshadowing of Jesus. So we could go into all that, and that'll be a teaching for another time. But today I just wanted to encourage you with your giving, that it is a heart condition. And that the question we shouldn't be asking ourselves is, how do I get it multiplied? The question is, how do I prepare the soil? Because what does the word say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So prepare your heart, and the rest will take care of itself. How do we prepare our heart? Well, we go deeper. We pray. We study the Word. We dig into the Word. We pray that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying when we read the Word, so that we have understanding. We grasp it. And that's when I believe we'll see the hundredfold returns. Amen. So with that, I hope today that you've prepared in your heart ahead of time to sow your financial seed into the kingdom of God. And I hope that today, at least if you didn't, you know, if you at least today had ears to hear, that your heart is ground, and that we have to prepare that ground. We have to take care of that ground. We have to cultivate that ground. And if you plant a garden one year, does it automatically spring up the next year? Huh? Come on. That's how it works, right? You just plant that seed one year, you got great corn, cucumbers, watermelon, squash. You harvest that, and man, next year that just comes up in more abundance right there where you left it. No, it's a constant process. You have to recultivate that land. You have to refertilize it. You have to turn the soil again. Churn it up, right? We have to constantly be doing that to our own heart to keep it soft. It is very, how many know it's easy to harden your heart to things? That's why you have to constantly be renewing your mind with the washing of the water of the Word, digging down into the Word, softening your heart to receive that Word. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope you prepared ahead of time to sow your financial seed into the kingdom, and that in doing so, when you prepare, and so when you prepare your heart, when you till up the ground of your heart, when you prepare in your heart ahead of time to give, then you can expect that hundredfold return. You can. There's nothing wrong with that. But do it correctly. Right? Do it correctly. So that you, what? We just read it. Can be a blessing to others. Not so you can store it up in your own barns. Right? Not so you can blow it selfishly on your own needs or wants or desires. I believe God will give you all that, but He'll give you more than enough in abundance to supply every need, every desire, every want, but to give out as well. Amen?
Amen.